Today's message is coming out of Deuteronomy chapter 28. And the reason that we're in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and have taken this break from the teaching of Jeremiah is because as we go through the book of Jeremiah, there is so much that's going on in there. God is calling the people whores. God is calling the people God is calling them horrible names. God is saying that they've done horrible things to him. And yet, many people, when they talk about what we call the Old Testament, they say God is a tribal God. God is a mean God. God is a cruel God. And the God of the Old Testament, many times people are embarrassed about him. And they make it as if the God of the Old Testament and Jesus are two different beings. Well, what I wanted to do is go and show you how God had before, about 800 years before, told these people what life would be like when they came into covenant with him. What it would be like when they decided that he is the one that they want to be their God, and they entered into a covenant almost, in the state of a spiritual marriage. So what we're going to deal with today, in the first part, that we're going to deal with is what God told the people he would do. And we're going to go with chapters 1 through 14. And I'm going to title this, "The God of the Old Testament Had Blessings for the Taken for His People." The God of what we call the Old Testament, he had blessings for the people. All they had to do is take the blessings and they were right there for the people. And the second part of that will be, or a little sidebar will be, will you receive the benefits that he has for us? It's your choice. You see, the Bible says easily, if you read Malachi 3 and 6, God changes not. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What was God really like in the Old Testament? Why are we seeing the things that we're seeing while we're reading the book of Jeremiah? The reason that I submit to you that people don't understand God and the God of what we call the Old Testament is because they don't read the Bible and because they're biblically illiterate. And even when we go through this 28th chapter right here, Deuteronomy, you will not fully have the picture of what God is and what they have done to him. I submit to you that if there is such a thing as victimization, God will be the victim. God is the one that provided. God is the one that made them a people. God is the one that brought them out of Egypt and made them a mighty, mighty nation. And then they treated him as if he had nothing to do with who they were and what he had done for them. I submit to you that the God of the Scriptures is truly a loving God. And I don't mean loving in the way that we define it, but I'm talking about more than fair, merciful, beneficent, but at the same time, he's holy. Don't ever let those other adjectives that I give you ever get in the way of your understanding that he's holy. But let's look at what God's perfect picture was for the children of Israel. I'm going to say right now, I submit to you that the days of Jeremiah, that the days of Josiah, that the days of the things that happened with Manasseh and all those people should have never happened. I submit to you, this is not what God intended. Just like God never intended for Adam and Eve to have to be kicked out of the garden. I submit to you, God never intended for death to have to be on the world. But people say, God knows everything. That's why Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, Tim. You don't understand the Bible. Yes, I do understand it. Because he knows what man would do, he made provisions. Had he put a chip in us and programmed us, we'd have never sinned. Oh, but would we love him? If I put a chip in my wife's head and make her say, yes, Tim, yes, darling, I love you, Tim. Yes, darling, I love you, baby. Yes, Tim, what else can I do? Yes, Tim, I got a robot. I have a robot. She's never responded to me out of her own will and her emotion. She's just like that robot that used to be on Lost in Space. Just like that robot that used to be on the, what's that thing they fly through the air, the Jetsons. It would always be programmed. God did not want us programmed. And his infinite love is not one that goes against his holiness. Understand that. Let's go dig into the scriptures. Let's get this. There's a lot of scriptures here, so we want to get right into the meat. God said through Moses, understand, Moses, I have to tell you this, because some people may not be aware of this. Moses is at the point that he's about to die. He's about to die. God has shown him it's time. And understand this, this is a man that has seen God. This is a man that has been in the presence of God. This is a man that has gone twice in his life, 40 days without eating and sustained just by God's power. A man whose face glowed so much when he came out of the presence of God, as we discussed in 2 Corinthians 3 when we went there, that the people couldn't stand to look at him. This man is getting ready to die. I would tell you that I would much rather hear Moses talk the last few days before he's getting ready to die and warn me and tell me who God is than to hear all of the preachers that I know, including myself, together today, talk. I would rather hear it. Well, Tim, we know about the New Testament. Yes, but if I could hear Moses talk and then go back and read the scriptures, look at the insight that I would have. Well, I want you to look at this as a wise, godly man looking out for his children, the children that God has committed to him, because God's the one that told him that they were his people. Didn't he say it? Didn't he say, Moses, I will kill them and make you some new people? Mm-hmm. All right, now I'm in the Word. You have to know Exodus to know what I'm talking about there. But here in 28, it says, 28:1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations on the earth. And then it says, and these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Does this sound like a mean God? Does this sound like a cruel God? This God right here is telling the people it shall come to pass. He sent it through his servant Moses. If you will hearken diligently, if you will listen diligently with the intent to do what you are told unto the voice of the Lord your God, if you will tune your ears, if you will incline your ears to hear what he has to say and give up your will and follow his will to observe, to look, to pay attention to, and do all of his commandments, that God will set you on high above all nations. The very thing that people want. To be number one. To be in charge. To be in charge. Be the lead. To be the head. God's promise to those children of Israel, the same people that 800 years now we are dealing with the time of Jeremiah, those people were supposed to be above all people on the earth. And it says, and these blessings shall come on thee, and there are going to be so many blessings that they overtake you. It's not going to be a blessing here and a blessing there, or like they talk about in the McDonald's song, here, a little there, a little everywhere, a little, little. It said these blessings will come, and they're going to overtake you. They're going to come, and they're going to actually come on top of you, and they're going to take you, and they're going to be so much you can't even hardly handle the blessings that come upon you. And then it says, it's only if. See that word, if? Where it says if? That's a conditional word. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. What else does he say? Blessed shall thou be in the city. Blessed shall thou be in the field. If you observe to do what I say, children of Israel, you're going to be blessed when you're in the city, when you're around the city folk, or when you're on the inside, when you're with a close proximity. If you're out in the field, you're going to be blessed in the field. You're going to have favor on you wherever you are. In the city or in the field. Listen to the other blessing he told them. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of your kind of cows and the flocks of your sheep. You're going to have what is called financial blessings. You're going to have a prosperity. You're going to have children. The fruit of your womb. You don't have to worry about your babies being retarded. You don't have to worry about your babies being born with Down syndrome. You won't have to worry about being barren. You won't need a fertility doctor. You won't need a mandrake. You won't need any of that stuff. You won't be hollering to your husband, "Give me child or else I die." Wasn't that Rachel that said that to Jacob? And Jacob said to her, "Woman, am I God who made you barren?" He says, "Blessed shall be the fruit of your body." Number one, whatever comes from your body will be blessed. Your children will be blessed. Not only will you have fruit, but it'll be blessed. And the fruit of your ground, whatever you plant, is going to be blessed. And the fruit of your cattle. You're going to have much cattle. It's going to be blessed. You talk about when you get ready to eat your steaks, when you get ready to kill the fatty calf, it's going to be fruitful. The milk is going to be fruitful coming from the cattle. And it says, and of thy kind, your cows, your flocks, your sheep, and all of that is going to be blessed. And then it says, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. We're talking about a people right now that was financially would have been set off. First of all, their name is going to be above all nations on the earth. They're blessed everywhere they go. It's like what they call the Midas touch. Everything they touch will turn to gold. Even the animals, even their body, even their sheep, even their kine, their basket, the bread and stuff that they put in the basket, whatever they store up is going to be blessed. Why? Because they're doing what the Lord God had told them to do. And because they were doing what the Lord God had told them to do, he had promised them blessings that otherwise they would not have. And this is God doing it, and it's theirs for the taking. If what? If they would only observe to do what God told them. Do not forget that all of these blessings are contingent upon them doing what God told them to do. Verse number 5, it says, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when you come out, and blessed shall thou be blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall thou be when I come out. I want you to understand, one, you got a name that's going to be high lifted up. Number two, your work will be productive. It won't be in vain. It won't be for naught. Number three, the blessing is going to come on everything that you own, including your children and your cattle. I want you to understand that when you do what I say and you walk in my will, there will never be a time as it was in the time of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Malachi, the rest of it. If you did what I said the way that I said, the Bible would be less than it is right now, saints. Do you understand that? If they had done what God said, a lot of the scripture we have would never be in there. Your Bible would be a lot less. Your Bible is full of warning because they had disobeyed. The Bible is full of God's punishment being put on people because they disobeyed, because they would not reach out there and get the blessing. And I'm saying to us, that when you read this passage, don't read this passage like I've heard so many do. Slow it down, Tim. I don't want you to read this passage like I see so many do when they watch TV. Or they hear TV preachers, they'll take this passage and say, blessed is going to be the fruit of my body. Blessed is going to be my cattle. Blessed is going to be my cows, my flock, my sheep, my basket, my store. This passage is not written to you. This passage is not written to you primarily. When I say primarily, to understand the scripture, we need to look at who is saying what they're saying, who they are saying it to, understand it for them first. Then you'll be able to draw the application from yourself. What's the application for yourself? Many of us don't have cattle. We don't have kine. We don't have sheep. But I submit to you, these promised people were promised a land. They were promised crops. They were promised a lot of things in the material. Had they received and done like God said, it would have been easy for God, as he made his progression, to show them the eternal life that was promised. That if God can keep his word on this, when he talked about abundant life, when he talked about living in eternity with him, you would understand that God has kept his word, God has been faithful, and you can say that this right here was wonderful what we had here. But oh my God, look at what he promised to us. But if they could not take what God gave them there, when Jesus came, they rejected him. Jesus has promised to us eternal life. Jesus has promised to us life and peace. Jesus has promised to us that all of the things that God has given to us, life abundance and the abundance of peace and the ability to be in charge, the ability to be free from sin and being delivered from the bondage of sin, he's promised us that. It's there for our taking. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, then are you my disciples indeed. If you keep my word and continue there in it, then are you my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth and it will make you free. John 8:31-32. Here is the thing. They need to keep God's word. We need to keep God's word. There's a blessing for us. But somebody said, Tim, you mean we can't be rich? You mean we can't have basket and kind? I'm going to tell you that some of us will. Not promised to all of us. You don't think that we have brothers in Pakistan or Afghanistan or maybe in China or Italy or sometimes maybe places in Taiwan or people that's even broke in America, and you think because they don't have that God does not love them, they're not children of God? People have no intention of being born in a place where they're being treated in a horrible way. People have no intention of being born in a family that does not have much finances. They have no choice. But saints, what Jesus has promised us, if we would look at what we see in the New Testament for us, and we look at Paul talking, the things that we experience right now, the mistreatment, the things that we see right now, they're only temporal. But the things that God has promised us is eternal. Do we want the eternal or do we just want the temporal? Yes, we may have some of the temporal. Many times I've received some of these blessings. But if I don't have those blessings today because our government changed, that doesn't mean God does not care about me and love me. What I need to do is see, did I keep holding to his word? Because if I kept holding to his word, I can look at the life of Job and see that God is testing me. When things go wrong in your life and you lose the things that you need and things are going wrong, you are being tested if you're not being wicked. But if you're being wicked, I submit to you that the hand of God may be on your backside trying to make your mind make a change, trying to change your software. People fight the Lord when he try to change their software, when he try to change that program inside. They ain't like, no, he ain't changing this one. I had this program all my life. I was born with this program. My daddy got that program. My granddaddy had that program. And that's my program. And God has a new program. And that program is submit to his will. Verse number 7. Listen to this. God's not offering him security and blessing. Verse 7 says, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten. God, the Lord, will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They will come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. I submit to you, saints of the Most High God, that you look at this passage and you see that right now no man can do anything to them if they're walking in this. Why is that? There's no man that can stop them from having the fruit of their womb. There's no man that can stop them from having their cattle grow. There is no man that can stop their production of what's in the field. Now there's no man that can come and beat them or beat them down. Do you see what God is promising them? Look, if he said you're going to be blessed in all these ways, and then saying your enemies that rise up against you are going to be smitten, that is perfect tranquility for these people in this earthly realm. And then he said they're going to come out against you one way, and they're going to scatter and go out against you seven, completely going to be decimated before your face. Now listen to this. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in your storehouses. Look at that. Even the stuff you store up is going to be blessed. And in all that you set your hand unto, he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord your God giveth thee. He gave it. You didn't take it. These are the blessings that's there for the taking. Verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee a holy people. The Lord will establish you to be a set apart people. The Lord will establish you to be the kind of people that people want to be like. The Lord is going to establish you to be the kind of people that other nations learn from to learn about him. The Lord is going to make you the envy of the world if you would just obey his commandments. It says, he's going to establish you a holy people to himself as he has sworn unto thee, if, there's the word, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his way. Now I'm going to say something controversial that I know I'm going to have to deal with in the future. When you read the New Testament and you see where it says the people, when you hear people say that the people could not keep God's commandments, they could not keep the law, I'm going to submit to you that they're not reading the Bible in this context. God is not promising them, go back with me, we need to go back. God is not promising them all these things that he's saying and knowing that they can't keep his commandments. Look at verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all people. If you take the scripture that tells you that they could not keep the law, and say that if they couldn't keep the law, then God set them up for a fall. I mean, how else can you explain it? If the law could not be kept, if what God is commanding them here could not be kept, then he's dangling a carrot in front of their face that they could never achieve. I submit to you that in brief, that the law that they could not keep is that when you did the ritual, it could not necessarily make your heart be right. You could go and sacrifice your animal. You could keep the Feast of Tabernacles. You could keep the Feast of Trumpets. You could keep the Sabbath day, the Sabbath month. You could keep the Sabbath year, and it would never necessarily make your heart right. Oh, but to say that nobody ever did. Where did we get Job? Well, they said, well, Job came before the law. That's fine. What about David? The Bible said David became a righteous man. Did it not? Didn't the Bible say that Boaz was righteous? Didn't it say it? The one that Ruth married? Didn't it say even in the New Testament that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth was righteous and blameless? Didn't it say Joseph was a just man? Didn't it say John the Baptist was just and holy? I'm just talking about people after the law. I'm telling you right here that these commandments that God is telling them to keep, and the things that you find in the scripture that say the law couldn't keep needs to be thrashed out so that you understand God did not give them commandments like this with all these promises and say that they couldn't keep it. And this is why they didn't achieve it. We'll have to deal with that in another area. But I just want you to understand that Moses said these are certain commandments that's given this day. And if you'll notice when we get to certain things, when we go to the next part, you'll see that a lot of these things are going to tie into what is called the Ten Commandments. Or the 10 words. I want to go back to where I was in verse 8. Because I need to bring that out separately. The Lord shall command the blessing upon your storehouses. And in all that thou settest thy hand to do. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I would think that if anybody would think that they could not keep the commandments. Why is this scripture here? That's like setting them up for a fall. The Lord shall establish your holy people unto himself as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his way. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord and shall be afraid of thee. Here's the thing. You're going to tell me that God was going to set them up to be a people that will glorify his name, and he set them up to fail as if he didn't want his name glorified? You must not have ever read John chapter 17. Because John chapter 17 is fully talking about Jesus saying that we need to glorify God's name. He's glorified God's name. And it's all about glorifying the name of the Father. Am I right? Somebody talk to me now. That's why it's so fresh on my mind. Next verse says, verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see thee, that thou art called by the name of the Lord and shall be afraid. Imagine if every time everything you touch turned to gold and all your enemies are destroyed. Who's going to want to mess with you? That's the very same thing that the Assyrians did. The Assyrians, they were on the aggressive and they came and they destroyed people, putting their heads up on walls, flaying them, impaling them on sticks, doing all of the things that they did, and people were afraid of them. Now, God is saying, you're not even going to have to be on the offensive. If they come against you, they're going to be totally decimated and destroyed, and because you're going to be so impenetrable because of me, nations are going to be afraid of you because of me. Notice, as you read through the Old Testament, people would be afraid of other nations' gods. and they will be afraid of you. Verse 11 says that he shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. The Lord shall open to thee his good treasure in heaven, to give thee rain upon thy land in season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Do you see this? Thou shalt lend unto many nations, thou shalt not borrow. This is what they forfeited. This is why when we're in the book of Jeremiah, and people would see that as God being hard, or when we get to the book of Isaiah, or when we get to Obadiah, when we see the things that happened during the time of the other prophets, we're going to, especially if we read Lamentations, oh my goodness, what's going to happen is you're going to realize that God promised them something. You're my wife. You are my wife. You are the people that I've chosen to be my wife. If you will just hearken to me and do what I say, I got everything that you need tied up in me. I'm telling you now that this is what Jesus has promised to us. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in him is life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it. It did not overtake it. If we are going to walk in the light, as 1 John says, as he is in the light, then we should have fellowship one with another. And if we have that fellowship one with another and have fellowship with him, then the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. And we're going to have a crown which no one can take away, which fadeth not away. That's what God is promising us. God is promising us different things in this world right now. Many of us will have financial blessings. Some of us will get healings. Some of us will be able to perform miracles. But it all must be done under what he says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. It all must be done for the glorification of God. The manifestation of the Spirit is not for you. It's to bring glory to Jesus, because the Spirit, according to John 16, brings glory to the Son Jesus. And when we bring glory to him, whether it's in life or death, whether it's in principality or power, what we have got in our life is a promise that God is going to give us eternal life, and we're going to rule and reign with him in that kingdom. But God was giving him a temporary kingdom here. And it would have been easy to make the transition, because you were already following him to what he had promised for us today. And it says the Lord, verse 12, the Lord shall open his good treasure in heaven to give you rain in thy season. Do you all remember when we were reading in Jeremiah, when we going back to next week, chapter 5, when he was going to make the heaven like brass and iron, and then all the dust that was going to come through? He said, I'll do the opposite here. I'll give you rain. And that's in his season, to bless all the work of thine hand. You will lend to many nations and not borrow. Do you understand? You will be the merchant. You will be the bankers. Everybody will owe you. You won't be a debtor nation like the United States. You'll be a creditor nation. Read on, Tim. There's some more stuff here that the Lord had for these people. And it says, and the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou will hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Is there anybody here think that God is telling them to do something that they can't do? Notice in this passage right here, he's not talking about sacrifices. Notice in this passage right here, he's telling them certain commandments to deal with. When we deal with the next part, we'll show you what they are. But I'm saying right now that if we were to follow Jesus and we were to keep the commandments of God right now, we would be the head. I remember I was taught as a boy that a certain church that you go to, you were the head because you were a member of that church. How blasphemous. How ungodly to say this one church is the head and not the tail. You using Bibles that somebody else translated, not even using Bible dictionaries, using somebody else's Sunday school books, using somebody else's song books, and you the head, not the tail. Lord have mercy. I tell you, this is talking about being the head. We're talking about being the light of the world. If you observe to do what Jesus says, and we observe God's word, we will be the head. We will be the light of the world. We will be the guide to the blind. We will be help for the sick. We will be help to the ones that are fatherless. We will be the one to instruct people in the ways of righteousness. And we will be able to make disciples of all men. And when we become the head, when we become the chief, when we become the one that's in charge, then what did Jesus say in John 13? You be the servant. You be the servant. Jesus said, if I'm your Lord and Master, and you call me Lord and Master, and you do right, and I've served you, serve one another. When you become the head, it doesn't make you stick your chest out. It puts you in a position to serve for the goodness and the pleasure of God. And then verse 14 says, and thou shalt go, listen to this, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words that I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. All of the blessings that God had promised them was theirs for the taking. What did they have to do? Observe God's word. What did God say? Observe it. Keep it on their mind. Keep it in their mouth. Talk about God's word. Observe God's word. Not to infringe upon God's word. To live God's word. And if they did that, the automatic blessing that God gave them was security. Nobody can come and pluck you up out of the land. Nobody can come and take you. Can't pluck you up out of the land. You hear that, Rich? They can't come and take you out of the land because when they come against you, they start running. Because God is attacking them seven ways. That fits just like when you read in John chapter 10, 27 and 28. No man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. No man could pluck them out of this land because God was fighting for them. No man could cause their cattle to be harmed. No man could cause their farms to be harmed. No man could come and steal their storehouses. Why? Because they observed God and because they were a representation of Him, and God would have been able to show His glory through them. If we, the people of God, would obey God, we will be the light of the world. We will be the kind of person, the people, that no matter what happens, is working together for our good. Nobody can thwart the plan of God in our lives. And even if they were to stone us like they did Stephen, what did Stephen say? He looked up and he saw the heavens open and said, Lord Jesus, lay not this sin to their charge. And he asked them to receive his spirit. It's got to be for us. We got to be willing to go to the death. We got to be willing to go through the price that's necessary so that God can set us above. And if we happen to be one of those that God blesses to be financially well, don't get caught up in the financially well and forget him. Because many times they would have moments where they would follow God and they would have this prosperity. Yes, it was especially in the Davidic kingdom. David got a lot of this stuff, had land given and everything to him. If you don't understand that the God of the Old Testament, this was his intentions, then you'll be like many people thinking he was mean, cruel, and barbaric. If you think like other people think because they don't read the scriptures, they only see when God would promise his punishments on the people. I submit to you there's blessings for us, all of them I can't name. But he promises us eternal life, to live and to rule with him forever. He promises us right now to be able to guide other people and help him and to share in the glory that Jesus is going to have with his Father. That's what he has for us. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you that you have given us an idea that you never intended for mankind to be on the bottom. You intended for your people to always be on top and to always be blessed. And I'm asking you, Father, to let us make our mind up if we're going to follow you and obey your will, obey your standards, so that you can set us up on top. We may not be on top financially, and we may be, but where it really counts, to be able to serve, to be able to lead, we'll do those things if we follow you. We ask for your help, your guidance, your spirit, and your chastisement when we need it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.